This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One-Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On the podcast today, we are taking a look at game week 36. We've got an earlier than usual deadline of Friday evening, and there's not long left. So without further ado, let's get into it. Right then, game week 36 is here, and it's an earlier than usual deadline. So don't be caught out. Friday evening is when we need to get our teams set up for. Friday the 3rd of May, 6:30 p.m. UK time is the deadline for game week 36. Now then, the first topic of discussion is injuries once again. We're going to first talk about Manchester United because Bruno Fernandes has been declared a doubt by Erik ten Hag ahead of game week 36. They are away on Monday night against Crystal Palace, so still a little bit of time, but Ten Hag has said in his press conference that Bruno Fernandes is a doubt, but that we should never rule him out. So read into that what you will. What I would say is he does have a pretty good history, Bruno Fernandes, of managing to play through injuries, good injury record, very, very rarely unavailable for United. So I still have a sneaky suspicion that he will start, but it is a concern for people who brought him in. Many will have done so on a wild card in game week 35, because Manchester United do have good fixtures between now and the end of the season, and of course they double in 37. So if you've gone for perhaps a double attack at Manchester United of Bruno Fernandes and Garnacho, there might be a little bit of nerves finding out on Monday whether or not he starts or not. I would say probably at this stage, if you can afford to not sell him, I would hold on to him because he has been delivering really good returns. Manchester United, in fact, in general, have had some pretty good FPL picks in recent weeks, despite their form throughout the entire season really being pretty indifferent. Game week 35 really did prove that you can still find some good FPL gems, even in the teams that aren't necessarily always playing particularly well. Bruno Fernandes with 2 goals, an assist and 3 bonus points. Even Harry Maguire with a goal and assist, and Rasmus Højlund picking up a goal as well. So Manchester United have got some pretty good picks that many people will have been going for either last week or this week, or certainly ahead of the double. Elsewhere, other teams that are doubling in 37 that have a good fixture in 36, the first of them is Manchester City. Now then, first on the menu for Manchester City to discuss is Phil Foden, left out of the matchday squad in game week 35, but don't be too alarmed, owners of Phil Foden. We were told that that was just down to an illness, so long as he's recovered from that, and we fully expect him to do so, then he should be in the matchday squad and probably in the starting 11 this weekend against Wolves. For many who went on a wild card in 35, or have been planning their transfers in the lead up to double game week 37, they'll be looking at a Manchester City triple up. Now, me personally, I've currently got Rico Lewis as well as Foden and Haaland. The reason I've got Rico Lewis is back a few weeks ago when Kyle Walker was injured, I took a punt on Rico Lewis as a nice differential for a cheap defensive option. That hasn't quite worked out as I had hoped, and it's currently blocking me from getting a third attacking player from Manchester City, namely Kevin De Bruyne. So I am trying to figure out a way, me personally, of getting rid of Rico Lewis and making sure I've got Haaland, Foden and De Bruyne all ahead of that double game week 37. So I may well be selling Rico Lewis this week, and we'll discuss some defensive alternatives in a second. If you can avoid making a transfer this game week, I think it's a really, really strong position to go into double game week 37 with 2 free transfers and then potentially roll one into game week 38, when you often see some very funny team selections from managers on the final day of the season. Some teams with nothing left to play for and a few surprise selections included in the starting 11s. It's always handy to have a bit of flexibility in your team ahead of the deadline. The other thing that's helpful about game week 38 as well is that all teams kick off at the same time, and undoubtedly there'll probably be some team leaks ahead of the deadline. So we should always bear that in mind when it comes to transfers ahead of the final day of the season. Back to game week 36 and Manchester City. Haaland came back off the bench from injury in the last game week, scored his goal. He looked really sharp when he was playing those final few minutes, and we expect him to be back in the starting 11 for this Wolves fixture and probably for the rest of the season, so long as he stays fit. Owners of him will be praying that is the case. And I also think that the minutes look really good for Kevin De Bruyne as well. There is a little bit of injury news to just discuss regarding Manchester City, and that is Ederson. The goalkeeper left game week 35 in a sling, but I do think it is slightly precautionary, because what was initially feared as quite a serious shoulder injury, it now is being reported that he's already back in training. So if he is fine and fit for game week 36, then no need to worry about a goalkeeper transfer there. If it transpires that it is more serious, then there is a very, very straightforward sideways move you can make, if you like, and that is just simply bringing him out and bringing Stefan Ortega back in. I do, however, get the impression that Ederson will be okay. Manchester City are certainly going to be a much stronger outfit and far more likely to retain their Premier League title with Ederson in goal. So I'm sure they'll be doing everything they can to get him back out in between the sticks. Final thing just to mention regarding Manchester City, if you are looking at defensive options, and they are quite appealing, if you don't want to go for the City attacking triple up and you've already got Foden and Haaland, or you've already got De Bruyne and Haaland, then you could, of course, look at a defender. I've already mentioned Ederson, who I do think is probably the safest in terms of minutes, so long as he's fit. But we have seen lots of Manchester City defenders benched and rotated in recent weeks. Even the likes of Ruben Dias, who we all thought was pretty much an ever-present in the centre of defence, he has been benched a couple of times as well. At the moment, the most informed defender from an FPL perspective is Guardiol, who I do really like as a differential defensive pick. Obviously, doubles in 37. They are both away fixtures against Fulham and Spurs, so not that easy. Manchester City do have a tendency to find a way of losing that clean sheet. That being said, Josko Gvardiol is a very attacking defender. His goal threat is pretty good. A couple of goals for City in recent weeks. And I do think he is quite a nice FPL option to be considering this week, with a home fixture against Wolves as well. So I do quite like him. But outside of that, I probably wouldn't go with a Manchester City defender. I just think there's so much risk of rotation there, even in a title charge. And normally we're so used to seeing a setback for turning out the same every single week from any team that is on their way to a Premier League title. But for some reason, Pep just manages to still get results no matter which defenders are on the pitch. So yeah, I would say Gvardiol is the number one defensive choice I would recommend at Manchester City. Outside of that, I'd probably be steering clear, just for fear of the minutes risk. Moving on to Arsenal, because Arsenal don't have any more doubles. But one thing they do have is the exact opposite of what I've just been discussing. They've got a pretty set back four and the best defence in the league and not conceding too many goals. And so a lot of people who have had a Arsenal defensive double up and have maybe been thinking about moving away from that, certainly at least one of those defenders, whether it be Gabriel, Saliba or Ben White, maybe moving away from them to a player that doubles in game week 37, I'm not so sure I would recommend that move anymore. I do think that ultimately any of those three, Saliba, Gabriel or White, could well find themselves getting clean sheet points this week at home against Bournemouth. And then in game week 37, they are away at Manchester United. That's not an easy fixture, especially considering that Manchester United are still scoring goals. But I can still see Arsenal managing to keep a clean sheet. It's certainly not beyond the realms of possibility. And I also quite like the fact that in game week 38, Arsenal are back at home against an Everton side that are now safe from relegation, nothing to play for, could well be on the beach, as they say. So there's definitely some clean sheet potential from Arsenal defenders between now and the rest of the season. I could absolutely see an Arsenal defender or two outscoring many defenders who double in game week 37 and have that extra fixture between now and the end of the season. So I would definitely say that Arsenal defenders are not an urgent sell right now. I will be holding on to them. I've got Gabriel and he will not be leaving my side. I will be definitely keeping him this week, certainly. Also to discuss Spurs. Spurs have been pretty frustrating. The double in game week 35 of Arsenal and Chelsea has not been particularly kind in terms of FPL. A return from Son from the penalty spot against Arsenal in the North London Derby helped matters. But outside of that, it's been pretty slim pickings in terms of FPL returns. Many managers will have been hoping Pedro Porro delivered or Vicario delivered some points, but neither have done so. Three goals conceded against Arsenal in game week 35 and then also two conceded against Chelsea. Not good news for defensive picks at Spurs. And to be honest, the fixtures do not get any easier. They've got Liverpool in game week 36. They've got a double in 37. Well, there is still some potential of a clean sheet against Burnley, although Burnley do play some pretty attacking football and Spurs, I mean, if they concede a corner or a free kick against Burnley, the number of set pieces, 14 goals Spurs have conceded from set pieces this season. So I can't see many clean sheets between now and the end of the season for Spurs. The question is, do you sell a Spurs defender in your team who doubles in 37 still? It's a tough one because what I will say is, with Pedro Porro, for example, or even Romero, these guys still are a threat and the underlying data suggests that there is still attacking potential from these players despite the clean sheets just not coming. And it's really difficult to find clean sheets anywhere else in the game. I've already spoken about Arsenal. Outside of Arsenal, there aren't too many teams that look like they're going to guarantee you clean sheet points between now and the rest of the season. So I think if you've made your Pedro Porro bed, I think you might need to line it between now and the rest of the season and just hope that there is still enough attacking threat from him on set pieces. I mean, Pedro Porro still takes corners and free kicks. Romero is pretty much the only aerial threat in attacking set pieces. Obviously hit the post against Arsenal, came really close to scoring as well against Chelsea. So, and he did actually at least get a goal in the North London Derby as well, Romero. So there is still some hope for defensive picks at Tottenham. I would say I wouldn't be buying them now, but if you have already got them in your team, then I think you just got to have your fingers crossed and you just got to hope there is some attacking returns between now and the end of the season. Finally, this week, I'm also just going to touch briefly on Chelsea. Chelsea have had a better game week 35 than Spurs. Their double saw them away to Villa and they picked up a 2-2 draw and then they beat Spurs in that London derby 2-0. One of the biggest risks that FPL managers have taken recently was bringing in Nicholas Jackson, who did look a little bit like Chelsea's Darwin Nunez. Really good underlying numbers, some good fixtures, but just didn't seem to be putting away his chances. He did deliver a goal against Tottenham. He looked really sharp, actually. He did look like a good threat up front for them. And Chelsea have some good fixtures between now and the end of the season. Game week 36 sees them at home against West Ham. Then they double in 37. Two away games for Chelsea, but they are against a struggling Forest side fighting for their lives against relegation. And then they are away to Brighton, who have one of the leakiest defences in recent weeks. So I can see returns for Chelsea attacking options. Obviously, almost everyone and his dog has got Cole Palmer in their team, but Jackson could be a nice option to have as well. Another player who I'm going to give a shout out to, who could prove to be a fantastic differential, is Madueke, who has been in really good form for Chelsea recently. Looks really dangerous, a really good dribbler on that right-hand side of Chelsea's attack. He got himself a goal and assist in that 2-2 draw against Villa. So there is potential for FPL returns from him. And as I say, Chelsea have some pretty good fixtures, a double in 37. So he's a nice differential pick this week, I think. At the moment, there's still no sign of a return from Sanchez in goal for Chelsea. So it does look fairly promising ahead of the double for Petrovic owners. However, owners of Gusto will be concerned, and that is chiefly because the word from the club is that he is still undergoing his rehabilitation program. So that doesn't sound particularly promising ahead of game week 36. And the other reason to have cause for concern for Gusto is that Reece James is back in full first team training now. So we could see a bit of a threat there to Gusto's minutes, even when he is fit again. I think that Gusto could well actually be a sell, certainly ahead of game week 37, because there could well be far better doublers to choose from. But I am unconvinced by Gusto now, and I do think that he will miss out in game week 36. So that could be a transfer that is forced upon many FPL managers, myself included. And with that, it's worth me briefly running through my likely team ahead of game week 36. I haven't made a transfer yet. And really the debate that I'm having is weighing up either having an extra transfer in game week 37 that gives me greater flexibility versus strengthening my team now in game week 36. So I'll run through my team as it is currently set up before making any transfers. At the moment, I've gone for Dubravka in goal, and that's because Newcastle have got Burnley this week, as opposed to Chelsea's Petrovic, who currently sits on the bench with a fixture against West Ham. I just fancy Jared Bowen in particular good form at the moment to perhaps get something against Chelsea. And statistically, the likelihood is Newcastle have the better chance of the clean sheet. In defence at the moment, I've got Maguire, Gabriel and Rico Lewis. And that is because the other two defenders I have are Aitnori and Gusto, who are both injury doubts. Maguire is away against Palace and he will be a mainstay in my side, I think, between now and the rest of the season. Good aerial threat from set pieces, as was proved against Sheffield United. So he's in, also doubles in 37. Gabriel, as I've already spoken about Arsenal defences, he won't be going anywhere with a fixture against Bournemouth in game week 36. And I'm currently slightly forced into picking Ryan Aitnori, who has a very difficult fixture away against Manchester City as my third defender. The main reason for that is that my other two defensive options are Gusto, who is injured, and Rico Lewis, who isn't getting the minutes. At the moment, I will still pick Aitnori, who is actually an injury doubt himself, although his slight calf strain from the previous game is not expected to keep him out, so there's a hope that he starts. And he does offer attacking threat, to be fair, so he could well get me some kind of attacking return in an ideal world, but I can't see any clean sheet points from him against Manchester City. In midfield, I've currently got Saka at home to Bournemouth, Foden at home to Wolves, who we hope recovers from the illness and starts. Then we've got Anthony Gordon away at Burnley, Son away at Liverpool, and Cole Palmer at home to West Ham. And then up front, Erling Haaland against Wolves and Isak away at Burnley. On the bench, Petrovic, as I said, Muniz at Fulham, who is away against Brentford this week. Rico Lewis and Gusto. Now, in an ideal world, I'll be quite happy to roll my transfer this week, so long as there's no emergency news that makes me feel a desperate need to make a late transfer ahead of the deadline. As I said before, I really like the idea of having two free transfers going into that double game week. So, as it stands, that is my team. And at the moment, the captain's armband is on Erling Haaland. It is very difficult to bet against the Norwegian in any game week, especially when City are at home and Haaland is fit and firing. He is only just back from that short-term injury, but he looked really sharp in game week 35, coming off the bench, getting the best part of half an hour against Forest and getting his goal. And I expect him to be back to his goal-scoring best. Certainly hope so with the captain's armband on him. There you go. That is my team ahead of game week 36. A reminder once again that the deadline is Friday the 3rd of May at 6:30 p.m. UK time. Don't miss it. Best of luck to you all. Thank you once again for listening to the podcast. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at Andy J Audio or at One Stop FPL. Good luck to you all chasing a green arrow, and I'll talk to you again soon.